Hello, creators. The 2024 Creator Circle Retreat, happening September 23rd through 26th in Vancouver, Washington, United States, is filling up fast. The registration deadline is June 1st, and we just have a few spots left. Visit wellnesscentercreators.com/retreats for all the info and to apply for your spot, or email me directly at kendall@wellnesscentercreators.com. Can't wait to see you there. As health and wellness providers, we know that better patient outcomes require a whole person, multidisciplinary approach that we just can't provide on our own. That's why I've started the Wellness Center Creators podcast. I'll be bringing you interviews with experts, tips, tricks, secrets, resources, systems, and solutions so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And creating your wellness center won't feel like starting over. Before we jump into today's episode, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Jane, a clinic management software and EMR. Whether you're just starting to do your research or you've been contemplating switching your software for a while now, the Jane team understands that the process can feel intimidating. That's why their goal is to provide you with all the onboarding resources you need to make the switch as smooth as possible. Jane offers a personalized call to set up your account, a free date import, and a variety of online resources to get you up and running quickly. And if you need a helping hand along the way, you'll have access to unlimited phone, email, and chat support included in your Jane subscription. If you're interested in learning more, book a one-on-one demo at jane.app/switch. And if you decide to make the switch, don't forget to use the code WELLNESS1MO at signup to receive a one-month grace period on your new Jane account. Welcome back, everyone, to the Wellness Center Creators podcast. Today on the show, we have a solo episode, and I received a question from one of our listeners. So I'd like to read the question and then chat through some ideas I have for this listener that will hopefully help all of you as well. So we had a chiropractor write in, a chiropractor and clinic owner from Vancouver, BC. And this person says, I was listening to this week's podcast this morning on my drive to work, and when you prompted people to email in any questions they might have, I thought of one that I'm currently facing, how to offboard a practitioner. This is my first year of clinic ownership, and while things have been really amazing so far, that inevitable time has come when one of our practitioners has decided to go out on their own, and this person is a clinical counselor. Is going out on their own. We are very supportive of her, but are now faced with the task of finding a replacement and wondering about how to make that transition easy for her, the incoming practitioner, and most importantly, of course, for the clients. So they say, I'd love to hear from a clinic owner with more experience in mind on how to gracefully move through these transitions if possible. So this is a great question. It's something that we all go through as clinic owners, business owners in general. And I'm just going to speak freely on this topic and we'll see where it takes us. So the first part of this question is how to do that offboarding piece. And this really goes back to onboarding. So if we take it back in time to the onboarding process, we want to make sure we're being as clear as possible about the agreement we're making with the person who's joining our team. So if there are any non-competes, non-solicitations in place, or agreements about, you know, who's bringing in clients, what happens when this provider wants to leave, we want to make sure those things are really clearly in place and written down before, as the person is onboarding. And that makes the offboarding process go a lot smoother. These things might also include any trainings that you've paid for as the employer, if you have a continuing education contract, or that person needs to pay you back if they leave within a certain amount of time, things like that. All that sort of detailed behind the scenes stuff that isn't the most fun a lot of the time, but it's super important. Coming back to onboarding is step one. When we get to the offboarding piece, it's helpful to have a checklist. So these would be things like we all might think of, okay, returning keys, returning any company property. And then we get into the details of what happens with the person's email address. Do they have a Google Drive? Do documents need to be transferred? Are all the charts signed? Then we have move into the clinical piece of offboarding, which would be, are we transitioning care for these clients? Are they staying with the provider who's leaving? If they're staying with the provider who's leaving and that's all been agreed upon, it's important to get the proper release of information to be able to pull that client information out of the clinic into the provider's private practice or wherever they're going to a different clinic. In the field, in our field, sometimes people can feel like, oh, well, I'm a healthcare provider. I've been working with this patient. I'll just take their information with me. I'm going to this other place. It's been agreed upon. I'll take their information. It's actually really important to not do that. That's a HIPAA violation if you're in Canada. I think it's called something different, but it's a breach of medical information. So it's important to do those steps to make sure you're working in integrity of the practice and all the ethical considerations and legal considerations, but also just the liability for your clinic of that patient information. So, and it depends on the modality as well. With some modalities, the original copy of those charts are supposed to stay with the clinic and then copies are taken. So those pieces are important, like thinking through the clinical aspects of the offboarding and then the administrative aspects of the offboarding. Then you have the relational piece of the offboarding. So the goal always as an employer and a leader is to, as you're talking with that person about the transition, really just like anything else, understanding the motivation for that, why they need to make that decision, wishing them well, and supporting them as best we can, right? We're running a business. We need to do what we need to do on that side. And it's important to maintain that relationship as best we can as that person is exiting. If at all possible, we can put systems in place into the overall culture and structure of how everyone on the team operates is to kind of give that expectation that if someone is planning to leave, that 2 weeks' notice is really not enough time in this field. We're dealing with humans. We're dealing with caring for their health and well-being. And a 2-week time frame is really damaging to clients most of the time. Most of the time in these situations, the clients get the short end of the stick. So my PSA for providers who are employees anywhere, and also for clinic owners, wellness center owners, as employers, is to try to put this precedent in place around this is not your typical 2-week notice situation when you are a healthcare provider in a group, small group practice. There's lots of things, there's a huge ripple effect when someone leaves that quickly. So that would be the first thing about that is if you can put it in place to give more notice so that there's enough time to transition the clients or, you know, coordinate care for the clients. The other piece of that longer notice is about finding a replacement for that position. And so if at all possible, that's the ideal scenario. If someone can give 3 months notice or 2 months notice, at the very least, that there could be time to rehire. So the second part of this question is about, you know, finding a replacement and how to make the transition easy. So we've definitely done some episodes around like where to recruit, you know, employees. And I think the biggest thing I want to say today is when you are interviewing for that replacement is really write down some things that you learned from this past situation. So it sounds like in this scenario, the clinic owner is a chiropractor, and the person exiting is a clinical counselor, so a psychotherapist, mental health counselor. Those are two different modalities. And so I would encourage the chiropractor to write down some things that were learned over the time of having the clinical counselor on the team. What might you be looking for that is the same or different in a new employee who's coming into that position? What questions might you want to ask differently this time in the interview process? I do always recommend having providers do a practical portion of the interview. So for a clinical counselor, this would be like a mock therapy session where you have the person show you how they would start in with an initial session with a client and kind of do a mock, have a mock client and a mock scenario and see the flow that they have in communication with the client and the type of rapport that they can build in a short period of time and things like that. That piece is really important to especially when we're hiring outside of our own modality and definitely when we are hiring our same modality as well. But when we're hiring outside of our own modality, it's harder to know exactly what to look for. So those practical pieces are really important and to see how it feels in the room with that candidate. And then making it a smooth transition is all about prioritizing the clients. So one thing that can be kind of a best practice option in these scenarios is to have a formal letter that is given to all the clients that explains the transition. So explains the time that their provider is leaving the company or will no longer be with the company, and here's the timeline, and then to give 3 referrals. So it depends on the situation. If it's been agreed that one of the options would be that the clients go with the provider to the new practice, then that would be listed as one of the options. The other options, if you have, you know, a replacement coming on board or other staff members who can take on the clients or patients, one option would be to transition to another provider within the team. And then the third option would be a referral out into the community. And it's important to give that to all active patients and have a discussion for the provider to have a discussion with them about that. And that's sort of best practice in that type of transition. I hope that's helpful to you today. And I encourage our listeners to email in questions and I will answer them on the show. You can email me directly at Kendall@wellnesscentercreators.com. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to the Wellness Center Creators podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit our website at wellnesscentercreators.com for more show notes and additional episodes. By the way, I love hearing from listeners. Please send me an email at Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L-L, at wellnesscentercreators.com with your feedback. And if you send me a question, maybe I'll read it on the show, anonymously, of course. Thanks so much again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Wellness Center Creators Podcast.